Well, that is music from Tibet, and it's from an artist called Yongchen Lamo, and the name means goddess of song or goddess of melody. And indeed, Yongchen Lamo is here with us in the studio, along with Neil Stedman from the Tibet Support Group Ireland. You're very welcome, first of all, Yongchen.
Thank you for having me here.
Can you tell us a little bit about your life in Tibet?
When I was very young, the life was very difficult in Tibet. And I do believe there are some people know what's happened inside Tibet. My grandfather was killed by Chinese, and my grandmother was in the prison. And my mother was nun, and my father was monk. Then, of course, they banned this religion. You know, monks or nuns have to go and do labor camp. For me, when I grew up, we have 6 children, 3 boys and 3 girls. Yeah, there's not much schooling or food and choice for women or for children either. So everybody have to go to work. So at that time, my grandmother, she always says I should sing. And sometimes she asks me if I grow up what I would like to do. I said to her, I would like to become man, because I always thinking at that time men are quite strong. And where we live is the old neighborhood. It's been punished and many is destroyed mentally. And I try to help for these older people. Some of them, they are blind. And some of them, they're mentally, it's crazy, husband or wife, they're both. So I used to try to help them get waters. And so I thought, oh, it would be nice if I become man and grow up quicker. But my grandmother, she always says, if you really want to help people, then you must sing. And then for me, this is very difficult to understand, you know, how can singing help people? Because I, for 5-6 years or old, and I didn't see future. So I said to her, singing doesn't help people. You know, everybody has their own voice. Everybody can sing, and people need a food. And then she said, no, you have a gifted, so you must use this as part of your spiritual practice. And so, yes, my mother also said, you know, she can die any minute. So better you learn some songs, make her happy. Then I said, okay. So make her happy, I learned some songs, and mainly old songs are that devotion songs.
They're very old songs.
Yes, from my grandmother.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, if in Tibet, if you really want, I mean, there are some singers, go to China, learn Chinese, sing in Chinese. And here we don't have any opportunities, then for me it's a little bit difficult to accept. At that time, I said, if I sing where I sing for what? But she always says, no, you will help people, you must sing. So then, yes, I learned some songs, and at the same time, I really want to know why they have so much faith for their religious or for the Dalai Lama, and I would like to find out this. And then much later, I went to Dhamma Station, and so, yes, then this is quite dangerous. You know, they doesn't like anybody talk about free, or, you know, you have to always act like a Chinese. And so then I went to India, across the Himalaya Mountains, and that was very difficult, because, you know, once you packed small bag, you never know when you return that place again or not. And yes, now I mean left Tibet 15 15, mm-hmm. And to me, since this is a long time ago, but I wish I go back to Tibet one day. That is my home, you know. And I believe one CD called Coming Home, and this means everybody needs their own home. Even the birds, they need a net. So, yes, then once I get to India, across the Himalaya Mountain, and then I met Dalai Lama in India. And then, of course, shortly after 2 years, I came to the West Country. So I made some CDs, and that was won the Grammy Award. And I never, you know, thought I'd tour around the world or making CDs. But this, I didn't choose the work, but the work chose me. So I tried to do best I can. And after I made the CD, after won the Grammy Award, then Peter Gabriel signed. He said, why, you know, how about you sign internationally? So then I made a CD called Tibet. Tibet means Tibet is Tibet. And then Coming Home, and then there's another one. And February, I have another CD coming called Mother. Yes, then I was quite lucky.
Yeah. Can you describe the landscape of Tibet?
Depends which area is. Mm-hmm. Like east, we have so much forest. And now, I mean, Chinese cutting this over 50 mm-hmm. years, nearly 50 mm-hmm. years, they are cutting this tree mm-hmm. every day and take to China. I don't know how much they left. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to north, and then the climate also high and quite cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, landscape, it's very beautiful. Maybe you've seen so many pictures from Tibet. You know, the sky is blue, and right now I think maybe they don't have so much bad pollutions. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, soon maybe they change if the world doesn't do something now, sooner. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're living in New York, and you set up a charity to help survivors of Tibet and people who escaped from Tibet.
Yes, I live in New York now, and most time I travel because of my singing, and I do some festivals. Most time I do my own concert, and I do a cappella concert, and through this I try to help Tibetan inside Tibet, Tibetan India, and wherever, basically wherever I can, I try to help, because we need so much different helps. In Tibet, when we say helping and doing something, it's not like, you know, you go to Africa and build a school, everybody come to the school. It's not like that, because you still, oh, Chinese, yes or not. Because they think, oh, we are very good for Tibetans, so they don't like somebody come there and do helps. And then also if you build a school, all the books, you have to go through Chinese, and then Chinese, you know, they will send the teachers, something like that policy. And I would like future build, you know, different schools, and basically education. Mm-hmm. But right now it's quite difficult to do anything. And so therefore I have each year a different project. This year project is shoes for children and artificial limbs and, you know, books for children.
And the artificial limbs, is that for people who've tried to escape and have been...
Different, yes, some of them for this. In Tibet, there are many people who infected. Like many, you know, poor countries, they use one needle. Okay, if you have headache or fever, okay, you go to the doctor and doctor the facility. It's not so good like in the West. You know, you don't say, here you have, say, bacteria or this. And they don't have so much this. Even they know this, even they have this knowledge, you don't have so much medicine or the needles. Mm-hmm. So they use maybe for 10 or 15, mm-hmm. use one needles. So people get by effect of this, and then they become, the legs.
Or the limbs, their legs are weakened.
Oh, and right. So
and
they
progressively, you know, become useless.
Oh. Then slowly they cannot walk. Oh. So I try to do that.
Okay, and you were saying that 3,000 people a year try to leave Tibet, and there's only 6 million maybe Tibetans left in Tibet itself, mm-hmm. As opposed to maybe 8 million Han Chinese since they've began to move in mm-hmm. to the region. So is there a case for saying that a lot of free Tibetan culture mm-hmm. Will exist outside the geographical area of Tibet, and Tibet will become a worldwide diaspora of a nation?
I think, you know, I don't, my thinking, I mean, I've seen Tibetan people escape from Tibet and then go to India. Then these days also it's very difficult. You stay in India because they become large of number Tibetans. So India also made some kind of legal, if you're not born in India, you have to go back. If you don't go back, we cut you, give back to China. So inside Tibet also, there's one Tibetan, like six Chinese. And I think, you know, everywhere there's Tibetan, but I think there's not one place there's, you know, mm-hmm. huge amount, and Tibet will be empty. I don't think this, because still, Tibet, it's such a unique culture. Everything's quite unique, so people also would like to go back to Tibet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that situation changed.
But your charity is about increasing awareness of what's happening in Tibet, and that includes what's going on there right now. But would it be fair to say that if the Chinese got out of Tibet straight away, which, well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but if this were the case, a different Tibet would be born than the romantic Tibet, the idea of Tibet that's in people's minds, because a lot of people associate Tibet with Buddhism and pure peace and, you know, mm-hmm. everything yeah. is so beautiful, and the same mm-hmm. sort of romantic image, for instance, mm-hmm. of the Native American or of any yeah. old traditional culture. But it would probably be very difficult for this culture to sustain itself anymore with the monasteries taken away and capitalism taking over.
Mm. I think there is quite difficulty, but at the same time, it's, I think, good for the world. I mean, if people necessarily have to become everybody Buddhist, but at least this culture, I call it philosophy, this is good for the country and good for our living. And yes, we're religious, wonderful, good, but if you doesn't practice, if you just go to temple, say, oh, please help me, then 1 week it's finished. I think religion should be part of your daily life from morning till tonight. You know, we learn this human, we're gifted, we have a gifted human body, and now we have basic mind. So we need to train this mind how become we are more love and, you know, compassion. You know, if we have to learn everybody's equal oneness. If we have human all say, oh, you are this color, I'm this color, or you are this, you are this. If we don't give up this, we'll never will have peace, I think. Mm. Whether this, you know, Tibet go other side or somebody's help, or I think we need to learn here big issues. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese problem, yes, it is problem for Tibet, destroyed this, that. But I think Dalai Lama also said he fought for autonomy, not free Tibet. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, instead of we fighting so much about land, this, I think better we'll say, how can we live in harmony together? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Dalai Lama, because I read that in the Village magazine now last November, that Dalai Lama says that he's not really for Tibet independence, but for Tibetan autonomy. Are you happy enough with that? Is that okay?
Yes, yeah. I am happy. Would it be nice Tibet is free and the people are, you know, you can do your what you like to do. But at the same time, I think it's important. Dalai Lama is our spiritual leader and political leader, mm-hmm. and I think it's good that if this has happened soon, rather than say, oh, we wait free Tibet. And, you know, many countries now, I traveled 70 or 65 or countries, and I see, yeah, the country has free, but human don't have freedom in their mind. Mm. They don't have free insight. Huh. So what's the use? You know?
Yeah.
So this is my question. Yeah. Yes, we have a country free and good, yeah. but if we human become really like slavery, uh-huh. you know, kill and all this egoism, hatred, uh-huh. What is the use?
Yeah, like freedom to exploit or freedom to be dominated.
Mm, yes, we're going to make you happy, free, and then I kill you, or I will change you. I think this is not so good. You know,
it's very refreshing and very unusual to hear people fighting against imperialism who are not necessarily looking for the nation state to replace what is there already. It's very refreshing, because very often the nation state doesn't, it causes as many problems as it aims to solve, you know.
Yeah.
And it perpetuates more inequalities and different types of inequalities. Even in Ireland, the same thing, you know, the rich in Ireland have more in common with the rich in Britain, I think, you know.
Yes.
They're poor brethren, they don't belong to the same nation at all, I don't think. You know,
yeah, different. I think this is all to do with our human mind, this egotism, you know, it's always about every course we put ourselves first, me and I and my, and this is make us. And I often say on my, you know, on the stage, you know, bad doesn't mean you have to a gun kill somebody. Bad we have inside us. And we never look. We always think we are perfect. You know, wear this way perfect, look this way perfect. No. I think the bad things, it's in our body. We're born with this. Whether you're Tibetan or whether you're Africa or Chinese, human being is the same.
This is like the Catholic idea of original sin. Roman Catholic idea. Maybe, I don't know, it's a philosophical abstract for me. But on a more realistic note, immediate note, do you manage to get contact with people in Tibet? For instance, you left your family behind in Tibet, and how easy is it to get in contact with these people?
It's better than before, yes, because these days we're living in technologies. Yes, technology is some way it's good, some way, you know, we know what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one button pushed and 1,000 innocent people die. And, you know, we don't think, you know, if we take something and what's the consequence is. We don't think this. So therefore, sometimes, yes, we can buy phone. But everything we have to, yes, wonderful. Or Tibet's wonderful, yes, everything's good, yes.
So that's amazing. So there is something to be said for IT and email even. I don't know, the Chinese or government are definitely clamping down on text messages and email, for instance. But it may still be possible. I don't know what it's like in reality trying to get through to your folks at home now by email. But what sort of messages are coming out of Tibet? Are they?
Oh, I don't get email message from Tibet, but sometimes we can phone the hotel and then they go to listen the telephone. There's a friend of mine, he went to Tibet, and I have, you know, the website, Reworld put the website and one music, like a video, and around the world they can listen and then they can watch this. But this person went to Tibet and he tried to show my family, and there's no songs. It's only the pictures, and picture completely like destroyed. And I have to laugh about this. I feel sorry for Chinese, you know. I don't always say Chinese get out or kill the Chinese. You know, still Chinese people are human beings. Yeah. Yes, we can talk about what's happened yesterday, but we make a plan today how we make this not happening tomorrow.
The
Chinese are quite funny in this way. They're quite, you know, some countries, if I go, they're not so happy, and they say, oh, you know, you shouldn't invite Yangqin Lamo. And I don't understand why they're so afraid of this. You know, you have everything. You killed the people, you took the land, you destroyed everything. Now what is it? What are you afraid about?
It's amazing, because deeper questions like that perhaps need to be asked of all of us, and about the people who you see as your enemy are the ones who need to be understood more than anybody, perhaps, and the people who very often we demonize in our own minds. But anyway, I won't say anything, because I'm only here as
yes,
a certain
we all have to speak very nice, because everybody try to make money, you know, have power, and then everything wonderful. I think many human are confused by this.
I'm afraid, now, Neil, is we just got about a minute for you to tell us what the Tibet Solidarity Group Ireland, what they can do, because unfortunately we've run out of time. Bad planning on my part, I'm afraid.
That's fine, Robbie. Well, first of all, Robbie, thanks for having me back. We basically lobby the government, and we get a good response. I think the Irish government is, generally speaking, very supportive of the Tibetans, and it's very hard for them, and I know that they get frustrated. The officials in foreign affairs, I speak to them, and they get really frustrated with the slowness and lack of progress with negotiations with the Chinese. You know, you take one step forward and then you take two steps back. But nevertheless, it's part of, if every country has pressure on their governments and the governments pressure the EU pressure China, it all helps.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's that we can do very little. Ultimately, the any solution has to come from the Tibetans, represented by their government, talking to the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
And they themselves can resolve it. If there is enough will from the Chinese government, it can be resolved quite relatively easily and quickly. The question is there enough will?
Okay, and depends on the European trade interests and stuff with the growing Chinese market.
Well, the trade interests and particularly arms selling mm-hmm. is a serious disincentive to reach agreement.
Mm.
I think this not only affect future, I mean, Tibet, I think this will happen, this will bring something tragic to the world. This is my worry, and I don't worry so much Tibet. We have something spiritual practice. This keep us going.
Perhaps we also have energy problems that may focus people's minds into probably looking at realistic situations and alternatives, because the economic of expansion of China cannot keep going for infinity if there's no energy to supply it. So that may be something else that might cause a refocusing of opinion, so things might not be so bleak, not bleak at all, in fact, with the great philosophy like that you have, young Chen. Without, I don't mean to seem condescending or patronising, but I'm afraid it's far better than I could have managed in the same situation, I think.